Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plale, joined in the studio by Robbie Wilders and Dave Orton. Sam Harley from Paddy Power is on the line as well. First off, as usual, we'll get stuck into the weekend review, starting with some rather quieter action to the last couple of weeks. We're at Kelso, where Cupertino, Winston Sea, Some Chaos and Burroughs Park stole the show there. Any immediate thoughts from that, Robbie? It was, like I say, quite a quiet week.
It was. The horse that really caught my eye at Kelso is Winston Sea. I thought this had the makings of a Grade 2 horse, really, the way he won. He won off 1.37. He came from a very disadvantageous position on the track. And he got there in the end a bit sluggly. It was a little close, but he stayed a lot further on the flat. He stayed 1.06 there. He's really coming forward for Harry Fry, and I expect him stepped up in trip to find a little bit more improvement as well. So I think this is, yeah, that was the standout horse for me on the card.
Okay, Sean Bone riding for Harry Fry. Dave, any thoughts?
Yeah, stole my thunder a bit there. I think they were trying to get him into the county, weren't they? And he wasn't quite good enough, if you like, at that stage. He's unexposed, definitely. Kelso didn't really do a great deal for me. I covered Newbury for the post and the analysis section. I thought we saw some good horses there.
Okay, we'll move on to Newbury just in a sec. Sam, any thoughts on Kelso?
Yeah, I completely agree with the guys. Winston C in that 2 mile handicap hurdle. Whatever about the horse, the ride from Sean Bone was probably, in my mind, the ride of the year. I mean, he was near enough tailed off halfway, scrubbing him along. And then he just weaved his way through to get up to win by the shortest of margins. He has to be pretty impressive on that. Like, he was just constantly off the pace. You'd have to think, up and trip, he could be quite a smart horse.
Yeah, indeed. We'll move swiftly on to Newbury then, Dave, and take the floor. First off, let's start off with Noel Feely. Obviously great that he got to bow out on a winner with Get in the Queue, who is obviously very smart, but I thought he made it look a bit hard work a long way up the straight for
He's
a while.
He's probably going to be a stayer, isn't he, that horse? He looks like it. I think I wrote that. So much was forgotten about the horse because everything was all about Noel. You know, he's three
Harry
from three.
Harry Fry said the plan will be to start him off at 2 miles.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. So he did that with Ithacap Fitz, doesn't he? And I think that, you know, the better the trainer knows that, you know, why go up immediately? Slow horses go up. So if he acts, you know, at 2 mile, then you're looking at a stiff 2 mile in the Supreme, but certainly on Saturday, the way he kept on after that flat spot. But to make it 3 from 3 in bumpers, that's no mean feat. Very few horses can actually do it.
Yeah, exactly. And anything else catch your eye?
Loads, actually. In the first race, Chic Name for Richard Hobson. John Joe Jr. was on it. First of a double for him.
Yes.
And that looked like a race that going forward, we might take out form-wise. Beat a horse called Joe Farrell last year, Scottish National winner, came right back to form. Looks like he's bang on to repeat that bid. And Chic Name, if he gets into the top, he'd be some sight in that. He's a cracking jumper, and he had a lows in hand, I think. The ground's come right for him. If not, they'll go for the Bet 365 at Sandown the following month. So.
Also, I think he's got some cross-country experience, hasn't he, as well? So that always stands in
He's a decent trainer, Richard Hobson.
Robbie Newbury, what were the main
points?
Yes,
I think we should touch upon Annie Mack, who absolutely hacked up in the Grade 2.
Love that feeling.
It looked a really competitive race, didn't it? But she turned it into a procession. Under John Joe Neal Jr. is looking unbelievable value for the £5. Part-owned by Chris Hughes from Love Island. I know you agree with this, Maddie. I think he's someone we need to keep on side with you to attracting the younger audience into the sport.
Chris Hughes.
Yeah. You're familiar. Well, we keep.
I've met him a couple of times, actually. But yeah, just
keep them both on side.
Keep them both on side. Absolutely. Yeah. Keep John Joe on side.
I think he's very much important to. As I say, attracting.
He was good on Cheltenham Week, wasn't he?
Yeah, good.
He was indeed. Yeah. And Chris Hughes, you know, some people give him a bit of stick, but he's worked in racing his whole life.
He did the charity race.
I don't see why you would. He knows what he's talking about.
And he
has a great interest.
Works hard and he enjoys it. So what's
you're a fan.
Like?
I'm a fan of Love Island as well. So that
doesn't totally surprise me, Wilder.
Doesn't it? Why'd you say that?
I don't know. Just got that look about you, really.
Yeah, that's not the only reality TV I watch, but yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, we go off on a tangent.
Yeah, you'll be on Love Island before too long.
That's what people have said, but...
Sam, any thoughts on Love Island, Chris Hughes or Annie Mack, or anything else at Newbury for that matter?
Yeah, it was great for Noel Feely to go out in a high like that. I was actually watching the ITV coverage, and Racing TV, I think it was, where Nicky Henderson gave a great account of Noel Feely, sort of pointing out his early involvement in his stable stars with both Bouvet Dare and Altior. He rode them both in their early days. Hopefully we can continue to see him with a strong involvement in the industry. I'd imagine he might play a similar role that AP McGoy McCoy does for JP McManus, but maybe for Jared O'Sullivan, whereby he might be out in France sitting on potential future stars and reporting back. And just for getting the queue, we have him in at 25-1 for the Supreme Novice in 2020 and the same price for the Ballymore Novice. And obviously a bit of uncertainty what trip will be his gig.
Yeah, for sure. Nice to see him win, as you mentioned. And Noel Feely is just an absolute legend, isn't he? I think I've never had a jockey sort of retire and everyone be so unanimously just in awe and just think he's a top bloke, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. You're always in the right place at the right time. You know, in and out of the saddle, I think. Loads has been said about it, but rightly so. It was quite special, wasn't it, on Saturday?
Okay, and we'll switch codes now. It was the Irish Lincoln at Nace yesterday, and Caravan, a price-wise winner. We've got to get that in there. First start for Joe Lyons after moving from Sir Michael Stout's yard, and he absolutely hosed up, didn't he?
Yeah, it was quite difficult to see on the split screen, of course, which is controversial. But when you did hone into that yellow jacket, colours, of course, they won the race with Brendan Bracken 2 years ago. He's an 8-year-old when he did it. This horse, they'll be hoping, will go on to probably be pattern races, I think. X-Stout won.
By the way, he won.
You wouldn't
be surprised if he was winning listed.
Jer's a cracker with these sort of horses, isn't he? Ian Herrits, these well-bred horses, a lot of them are by Darley, and they do go on and hold their form for him. He didn't have a great end to 2018, so it's obviously started a lot better for him. And he'll, you know, he's got some unfinished business with this flat season, I think, so watch out for that yard.
Yeah, and Robbie, we were sort of looking in, honing in on trainer angles. You were a big fan of Fozzie Stack.
Fozzie Stack, Jim Bolger. I thought Wargrave won really well in the concluding maiden, didn't he, for Fozzie. Mm. The biggest eye catcher for me, though, was actually Never No More, who won for Aidan O'Brien. I think any horse who can win for Aidan first time out is one that's going to have a few pounds in hand for sure. This son of No Nay Never, he won the Madrid handicap by absolutely miles. It was 3.5 lengths, but it was very comfortable. I could certainly see him developing into a Group 2 performer as well. He won that off 97. I'm not going to say he's a classic horse, but there's definitely big races to be won with him.
Yeah, more of which regarding the classics just a little bit later on. We're going to get stuck into sort of really talking about the flat season fully. But before we do, Sam Harley, any thoughts on the action at Nace yesterday?
Yeah, so just flicking back to the Lincoln, I think a lot of credit has to go to David Spratt, the owner of Caravan. He's kind of renowned for going to these horse and training sales and picking out good value. He picked up the See the Star Colt for £32,000. Looks a bargain when he won €50,000 yesterday. And it's a long line of sort of success he's had doing this with horses such as Mustajir, Seawolf, Inscribe, Moani, just to name a few. I think the horse that finished second is another trainer that should be flagged up as having a lot of success in these types of races. Damien English, 25-1 shot trading point. He was picked up for 6,000 guineas at the Newmarket Horse and Training Sale at the end of last year. And again, he won €19,000 yesterday. I know that's a big Dublin syndicate involved in that horse, so it just shows that at the lower level, there's a lot of fun to be had in those premier handicaps. The one in behind that actually caught my eye was Crownthorpe for Richard Fahey.
Right.
He didn't get an easy passage at all from the 2 furlong pole, where he's coming from the back of the field and had a few interruptions. He wouldn't have beaten the winner, but I think on sort of soft ground in the next couple of weeks, he'd be one I'd be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, David, just go over to you quickly. Really good to see that, isn't it? Sort of syndicates and horses that aren't costing the earth winning these big races.
Yes.
That's what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to make it more affordable, basically, don't we? You know, lots of people just don't think they're ever going to own a horse because it's just way too expensive. Well, this proved otherwise. We'll talk about some horses later on in the show that are in syndicates over in Maidan, in Dubai, you know, and things like that as well.
Indeed, it does work out.
Just interesting with the Aidan O'Brien point. Never No More was his sole winner, wasn't it, over the weekend? And again, it looks like they're going to be slow starting, needing the run.
I think that's very much an angle, isn't it? Perhaps they go off very short first time out. And
you just don't know what to do with them.
Yeah. Amadeo Modigliani was a huge drifter on the day.
Was the filly, Delfina, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that ran.
Yeah, with Amadeo Modigliani, he's definitely not a horse to give up on, though. I'm sure that Connections would have been delighted with that run when he finished third in the Voice Stakes. Yeah, he'll come forward from that.
Yep.
He's very highly regarded, and I'll be interested to see how he progresses through the season.
Okay, indeed. So, very much more to look forward to on the side of the flat things, and the return of the flat will be back just after this break.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now we're going to talk about some of the reappearing stars of the flat season. But first off, let's get an eye on what's going on with the Jockey Championships. Very, very early days yet, Sam. But how did they bet? Sylvester D'Souza, he's obviously had a profitable winter out in Hong Kong, but he's now got that King Power retainer, of course, so that could impact things.
Yeah, so we've D'Souza at 4-5 at the top of the market. We've Usheen Murphy 6-4. We've James Doyle 16-1. Jason Watson 20-1. Jim Crowley 25-1. And it's 33-1 bar.
Brilliant. Robbie, would you usually be looking at this sort of market?
It's not really a market I'd generally get involved in, but it does look a straight shootout between Murphy and D'Souza. I know Murphy's going to go all out for it this year, and D'Souza's case will only be helped by the King Power retainer. They look an operation that are very much continuing to expand. And I'd be very much in the D'Souza camp. I just feel that he mightn't have the same book of top class rises Murphy will nonetheless.
Yeah. And Dave, what about you?
Yeah, Murphy for me. On the flip side, I think he's probably, dare I say,
he's right at the top of his game.
I genuinely think, bar Australia, I think he's the best flat jockey in the world riding at the moment. I genuinely do. Yeah, I think he is absolutely fantastic. If you watch him on our all-weather tracks, he's just as good on turf. Some of these top turf jockeys get on our all-weather tracks. I mean, Frankie Dettori's one, for example. Mm. You know, he doesn't ride Lingfield particularly well by his own standards. He gets on the best horses around there, but he doesn't always ride it that well. Murphy just knows absolutely everything. I think this is going to be his year, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, and obviously we had some of the two-year-old races at Nace yesterday. What are we expecting trainer-wise from the start of the season? I know John Gosden, he's had a lot of horses on the all-weather, Whistler Hickam winning. Mark Johnston, he's always a trainer that you want to keep on side. What sort of, do you have any approach to the start?
Mark Johnston's an interesting one. If you remember a couple of years ago, he had a really good start, didn't he? Sheikh Mohammed, you know, and his operation sent him those yearlings, which were the sharper types. It wasn't so much the case last year. It will be interesting to see. You usually get a steer at Kempton. Of course, the Brocklesby this weekend will come up. That will tell us a little bit more. Mick Shannon, I seem to remember last year, had a really good start to the season.
He does.
He's always one to look out for with his sharp two-year-olds.
Okay, Robbie, any thoughts to
it? Well, as you know, Maddie, I'm kind of more intrigued by Irish racing anyway. So I'll be keeping a close eye on Aidan. And in particular, from a bloodstock angle, I'm very intrigued to find out how Australia's progeny will train on as three-year-olds, because there are some really promising types.
Yeah.
There's two-year-olds, the likes of Broome, Sydney Opera House, Western Australia. We'll see what they can do. They seem to have very good temperaments. And yeah, that'll be something that I'm looking forward to this season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up a bit like the Galileos, where they can be slow to start and then they
Absolutely.
Just improve.
You have to think so, wouldn't you? It's a derby winner, you know. Mm. The more ground and time that they get over, that's... should benefit them.
Yep, I like the sound of that. Sam, anything to add on sort of angles that you look at when the flat season approaches?
Yeah, so just since the start of 2019, I see John Gosden, William Haggis and Mark Johnson have strike rates of 36%, 35% and 25% respectively. Obviously extremely good, probably due to limited runners, but I know Mark Johnson's had a serious amount of runners already to date. The one outside of those three for me would be Sir Michael Stout. Early on in the season, he's always one to watch with his older horses that are on an upward curve over middle distances. So he'd be one to look out for. Just over in Ireland then, for a couple of jockeys outside of the top two that could have a good bit of success this year would be Ronan Whelan and Chris Hayes. Ronan Whelan has had a 30% strike rate so far this year, mainly on the all-weather. And I think Chris Hayes has quite a spread of stables that he's working for at the moment. Mm. He's obviously in with Kevin Prendergast. He's in with Tommy Stack. He had a ride for Dermot Weld on the weekend. He's Richard O'Brien. He's a very, very well-liked jockey and very professional. And he's known for his feedback that he'd give back on his rides. Mm. So he'd be the one outside of the top two I'd be following.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now we'll go over to and look at some horses to follow. How long is your horses to follow list, Dave?
Ah, it's always this time of year, isn't it, where you're
it's hard to get your mind
in between. Absolutely. You're in between Cheltenham and Aintree, and someone asks you a question like that, and you're like, I know I've got like a list of 50 somewhere. I'm just not exactly sure where it is. I mean, you've got some returning horses, haven't you? I mean, we've seen stories about Lauren's come out in the paper this week, and obviously it's all going to be about too darn hot the next couple of weeks as we come up. It looks like he's going to have a trial, so it's going to
be all over him for the guineas.
Well, it's his race to lose, I think, isn't it? Apparently, he's done well over the winter. Gosden's record in the race obviously will come up for scrutiny.
And he's going to go to the Greenham, I think, as a prep, isn't he?
Yes, which is obviously what Frankel did. Mm. So just to take some fizz out of him, I think. But his record on the Rolling Mile looks fantastic. And it's a case of what's going to turn up to beat him. That's, I mean, 11.08 at the moment, it probably is around about the right sort of price.
OK. And Robbie, before we get engrossed in Newmarket Classic chat, horses to follow from you.
Horses to follow is actually related to a Newmarket Classic, I'm afraid. But the Kevin Ryan Trade East, who had a very productive two-year-old campaign. It is a Frankel filly indeed. Yeah, you are correct, Dave. She was second to Newspaper of Record in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf on her last run.
Love to see her come over.
She is coming over, isn't she, I think?
It's for the Coronation Stakes.
Come on, we need to see
the plan. Just Wonderful, who currently disputes favouritism for the 1,000 guineas, was in behind Newspaper of Record and East that day. I could just see East being the kind of horse that's underestimated by virtue of the fact that she's not trained by an O'Brien or a Gosden. She's trained by Kevin Ryan, who himself is a very shrewd operator, and I'll be interested to see how she trains on as a three-year-old.
Yeah, I think that was a really eye-catching run, wasn't it? The Breeders'
Cup. Bad draw, memory serves. And does she need a bit of dig underfoot? Because she obviously got that in America, which is...
Potentially, yeah. We'll have to see how that pans out, for sure.
Yeah, and now, Sam, I know you've got quite a few to follow.
Yeah, so I have three lined up here. I'm sort of highly interested in horses progressing from two to three, especially sort of back-end maidens of last year. So the first would be a horse called Hazran, who's a Lope de Vega colt, three-year-old for Mick Halford. He was placed in an ace maiden over a mile at the end of last season, came from a long way back in typical Mick Halford style. I'd imagine there's a lot left to work on for his three-year-old campaign. It's actually worthwhile noting that the dam's a half-sister to recent Derby winner Harzand. So on pedigree, the middle-distance trips will be where this colt will come into his own, and I'd imagine he'll take up a Derby trial at Leopardstown in the near future. One that caught my eye last week was a horse called Epic Hero, trained by Andre Fab by Sayuni. He won a conditions race in Chantilly by a distance, looking to have a bundle of talent. He had four previous winners behind him, giving the form a lot of strength. He's actually in the 2,000 guineas field. And then the last one is USS Michigan, a Warfront colt for Aidan O'Brien. I actually saw this horse at the Curragh on debut last year, and he's probably the best-looking two-year-old I saw by a mile. Big, imposing Warfront horse, who looked like he had plenty to improve on. He actually broke his maiden tag 3 weeks ago in Dundalk, in quite a weak maiden. But he's entered up in the Gladness Stakes, Group 3, at the start of April at Naas, over 7 furlongs, and holds English guineas and Irish guineas entries, with the Irish guineas probably the more likely target to give him time to grow into himself.
I like the sound of those. Can you just spin us through the 2,000 guineas betting to start off with, please?
Can indeed. So we've two darn hot at the top of the market, 11 to 10. We've 10 sovereigns, 13 to 2. We've Calyx and Magna Grecia, both at 10s. We've Advertised 14s. Line of Duty and Persian King at 16s. And we've Epic Hero, Anthony Van Dyke, Jash, Zakuski, Royal Marine and Mad Moon all at 20s and 25 to 1 bar.
Thank you very much. Now, I was a big Persian King fan and they're not going to go for the race, so I'm a bit furious about that, Dave. But has that re-jogged your memory a bit? Besides Too Darn Hot, can you see anything progressing to be a danger?
It was a great bunch of two-year-olds. We should remember that. And it wasn't just about
no
Too Darn Hot.
Of course.
That is a blow, isn't it? That came out during Cheltenham Week, a good week to bury bad news. As they say, that was just everyone was like, hang on a minute, where's this come from? This news is huge news, wasn't it? Mm. What are they going to rely on at Godolphin? Line of Duty really impressed me on Breeders' Cup night. I think we could be looking at a decent horse there this year, whether he's a Guineas horse, not 100% sure. Magna Grecia is the interesting one, I think, because physically he's got more to come.
Won the Vertem trophy, didn't he?
That's he did, and racy. Not quite a typical Vertem winner, I don't think, because whether he'll get much further than a mile two is debatable. Okay. Looking at his pedigree. So, yeah, I mean, he's an interesting one. Mad Moon is the interesting horse, really, sort of going forward. Yeah. But is he going to stay in Ireland for Kevin Prendergast? I guess Sam will probably tell us that might well
what
be
What do you
case.
Reckon, Sam?
Yeah, so I suppose I'll just run through my opinion of the race quickly. I think, obviously, Too Darn Hot's the one they have to beat on last year's form. Just running through a few others at the top of the market. I thought Magna Grecia's form's weak, with Western Australia finishing so close behind them. Just through the line of Mad Moon's race. Wouldn't like 10 sovereigns either. I'd actually worry about him staying the trip of a mile.
Yeah, I think he looked a bit more like a sprinter, doesn't he?
He's just a quirky sort, and he's a funny head carriage. He holds his head up very high, So he wouldn't be for me. Then Calix, it sounds like he's going to the Commonwealth Cup, and Persian King to the Prix de Jockey Club. So for me, it sort of leaves Mad Moon as the obvious each-way angle in this race. For me, he's also the standout from the Irish Shores. Trained by Kevin Prendergast, needs no introducing, having won the Group 2 over a mile on Champions Day, Leopardstown. He beat Broome that day, who went on to frank the form. He brushed him aside with ease and obviously gave him the quotes of 20-1 for Newmarket. I'm actually involved in the Kevin Prendergast yard, and he's come through the winter well. All's gone to plan with him. He's sort of had a seamless prep so far. He's actually coming back in a Guineas trial on the 6th of April in Leopardstown. So I think it's going to depend on his performance there, but the vibes I'm getting is that if he was to win that race, Newmarket would be the likely target.
Oh, fantastic. What's your involvement with the yard?
My dad's in there as an assistant to Kevin.
Oh, excellent.
So my dad would be a former trainer, so he's actually in there with Kevin 2 to 3 days a week, just helping out. Obviously, Kevin knows what it takes to win a 2,000 guineas. He actually won it in 1977 with Nebbiola. What a great way to sign out it would be for him if he could go and do it again.
Yeah, exactly. And Robbie, really quickly, 2,000 guineas thoughts.
Yeah, I'm in the camp of the guys as well. I think Too Darn Hot is going to be incredibly tough to beat. Anthony van Dyke is not a horse I'd want to underestimate going on for the rest of the season, but it looks like he needs further than a mile. I don't know if he's going to win a classic, but I just feel like he's the horse that might show up and win a Group 1 over a mile 2 or a mile 4. I was really encouraged by his season last year. But no, there wouldn't be any standout bets for me in the 2,000 guineas market at the moment.
What about the 1,000 guineas, Sam?
Yep, just give me 1 second. So at the top of the market, we have Fairyland, Skitter Scatter, and Just Wonderful all at 10s. We've East of 14s. We've Iridessa, Antonio de Vega, Goddess, and Dancing Vega all at 16s. And 20-1 bar.
I'm a big fan of Dancing Vega there. A bit of a dark horse at a big price. Dave, a lot more open than the Colts equivalent.
Yes, I think I treat this race differently like a lot of people. I think they can just change so much over the winter. Horses can come out of absolutely nowhere. You remember the likes of Aganati recently, where was she? It can happen. And 10-1 the field tells a tale, doesn't it, I think? Or around about that. Horses like Fairyland, really, really solid, likeable sorts, but are they going to stay? Skitter Scatter, I'd be slightly worried about her actually training on as well as she was. I like a Dancing Vega, like yourself. I think that is a filly going forward who could well be near the top of the market come the first weekend in May.
She came on my radar because I think Rab Havlin said that he liked her as a dark horse after riding in the race she won at Doncaster.
So Waverley Racing, isn't it? They had such a fantastic end with their fillies last year.
Love their Lope de Vega as well.
I love their Lope de Vegas,
I'm a big fan of that sire, Robbie.
I kind of pinned my colours to East. Yeah. What price was East, Sam?
14s, Robbie.
14s. Yeah, I think you can get bigger elsewhere. I'm trying to talk myself out of a bet at the moment because I think that some 20-1 would certainly whet the appetite. I'll stick with her. But again, there's always that doubt, as Dave touched upon, are these fillies going to train on? And there's going to be something unexposed that we're not even
Gosden
aware of.
Something, mustn't
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's going to take giant leaps forward, but we just don't know. So maybe keep our powder dry for now.
Okay. And really, really quickly, Sam, Japan, the Beresford Stakes winner, he's bound to be to the top of the Derby betting.
Yep, so just in the Derby betting, we have Too Darn Hot at 3-1 at the top of the market. We've Anthony van Dyke, 12s. We have Japan, Quarto, Dubai Warrior, all at 14s. We've Magna Grecia, 16s. And we've Mad Moon and Turgenev at 20-1, both of those. And just quickly to flag, we have a double in our special section. We have Too Darn Hot to win the Guineas and the Derby, double at 5-1.
Okay, would you have any worries about him over the Derby trip, Too Darn Hot, Dave?
No. His run style, if anything.
I mean, on the breeding wise, no. Have been a bit.
I don't know. I think pedigree wise, he looked at the start like he was going to be more of a horse that might want to get over a trip. But certainly his run style is really quick, isn't it? He's got extreme turn of foot.
Yeah.
Rated on the par of Frankel, wasn't he? So there's a stat with the 2,000 guineas that we roll out every year. The last horse to not have run over as far as 7 furlongs as a two-year-old and won it was Island Sands back in 1999. Mm. Calyx and the likes of that, you know, they will they stay, won't they stay? History tells you they won't.
Mm. Okay, interesting. Robbie, any thoughts on the Derby? Long way to go.
It's a long way, yeah. I was actually interested in Mad Moon as a Derby prospect potentially, but if they're, I mean, horses can go on and run well in the Guineas and then go on to the Derby.
It's fascinating that Sam says he might come over, because if he does, we are talking about a horse that could well, you know, easily beat in single figures.
But as you touched on Japan, I've got Japan in my notes as well. I was kind of really impressed by what he did in the Beresford. Yeah. It seemed as if Mount Everest was the one that they really thought was going to win. He was smashed off the boards in the betting. And Japan got there really quite cosy in the end. He looks the type that's going to progress at three. And I'll be fascinated to see where he'll probably take in something like the Derrentown Derby trial, maybe. Yeah, exactly. And he looks one that could be something quite special.
We have so much to go through and we've covered a lot already, but we have to talk about the Lincoln at Doncaster on Saturday. A lot of people consider this the real start of the flat season. Sam, just run us through the betting to start off with.
Yeah, so we have Oxair at 9-2 at the top of the market. We have Kinran 8-1. We have Chief of Chiefs and Humbert both at 10s. We have Safe Voyage and Rip Arf at 12-1 both. We have Beringer, Mizza and Zwayan at 14s. We have South Seas and Chilean both at 16s and it's 20-1 bar.
Fantastic. So I'm just going to get one selection from each of you and then we'll move on to talk about the action at Maidan because it looks so exciting. Dave.
Humbert for David O'Mara, moved from Hugo Palmer's. Auxerre ticks almost every box, could well be another Adabe, a group was in an end cap, but if you're being picky around about 7-2, that sort of mark could go off 11-4, really, really short. Remember, Adabe was about 9-2, wasn't it? That's a, you know, a proper Lincoln price. You've got to pick holes in him, and lack of experience, turf form may not be up to what he's done so far on the synthetics as well, so I'd take him on with Humbert.
And David O'Mara is so good at getting these horses and winning.
Those are big field experience he's got.
He did it with in this race a couple of years ago.
Bravery. Yeah, myself and Dave are actually singing from the same hymn sheet. Humbert was the horse I liked as well. You go through O'Mara's record in the last few years, it's phenomenal. He had Lord Glitters at the second last year. Obviously, Bravery, as you just touched upon in 2017. He had Birdman fourth in 2016. He's a trainer that likes to hit the ground running. He's proven that he can improve horses that he acquires from other yards, and Humbert ticks plenty of boxes. He's an out-and-out miler, and I'll be very keen to see what he can do. I know Humbert's been quite well supported in recent weeks. That'll suggest he's going to go. And he looks the one for me at this stage.
OK, and Sam?
Yeah, I agree with the guys with the doubts over Ox here. He'll probably go off a short price with James Doyle now. Booked to ride him, missing out on Maidan. So just with him at a short price, there's two bigger price ones I'm going to take a stab at, and those are Beringer and Third Time Lucky.
Oh, I love that Beringer. That horse is one of my favourite horses.
He's rated 96. He's actually mainly made his name over a mile and 2 furlongs. But the ground actually at the moment at Doncaster is soft. Hopefully it won't dry up over the week. But his standout piece of form was his run at York in June of last year behind the highly touted Wissahickson of John Gosden's. He was only beaten 3/4 of a length that day, getting £4 from Wissahickson, but has actually... Wissahickson's gone on to be rated 117. So if this was in mind after that run, if he can run anything to that form, he's obviously going to be in with a great chance. And then just Third Time Lucky, trained by Richard Fahey, is a regular in these types of events and crops up with a good run every so often. He actually ran against Wyan recently and actually has a £5 swing for finishing second to him. Beaten 1 3/4 lengths. That was actually at Wolverhampton in a Lincoln trial. Zwayan's a 14-1 shot and Third Time Lucky's in there 25-1. Those would be the two that look value to me.
Okay, just touching on Beringer, I mean, I love this horse, but for a See the Stars, he travels so well in his races, so I wouldn't be surprised if that step back down in trip actually helped him, because some of the races at the end of last season, he wasn't actually seeing out that strongly, so it could be interesting. We'll go to Maidan then, Dave. You and I were looking at the racing there this Saturday, and there's some big guns being rolled out. Let's start off with the Godolphin Mile. Prices, Sam?
Yep, so we have Montezat 5-4 at the top of the market. We've Heavy Metal 5s, we've Cull Front 11-2, we've True Timber 10-1, and Musawat at 16-1, and it's 20-1 bar.
Fabulous. Now, I'm going to be back in the hot seat on Friday in the Tipping Postcast, so we will go into things on more detail then. But Dave Muntasar, you looked really impressive last
time. He's a beast of a horse, yeah, and a real success story. Just interesting with him, he's the horse that's been over there and done it, and we're going to have these raiding parties coming over, the American Sprinters, the crack, a Japanese filly, Almond Eye, is coming over, and some returning horses as well, like Cross Counter. But these horses have been there and done it, and I would probably just about favour them, I think, at the moment, the horses that have got the form over there this year. It's been a good year over there if you've been following that carnival. It's been some classy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And really quickly then, you mentioned Cross Counter. We'll move straight on to him in the Dubai World Cup. Sam, what price could we expect to get about the Melbourne Cup winner?
Yeah, so having gone non-runner no bet today, we have Cross Counter at the top of the market at 13-8. We have Ispellini 9-4, Call the Wind 5-2, Prince of Iron at 10-1. And Goal Mount 16-1, and it's 25-1 bar.
And Robbie, I mean, you couldn't help but be impressed with what he did last season, could you?
Absolutely not. He's just taking steps forward all the time. But I don't really want to be betting at Maidan at the moment. I've just never really got into it, to be honest. I do love Blue Point though. He'll go in the Elkwell Sprint.
Exactly.
I've liked him. He is actually top class now, I'd say. And I hope he'll get the job done. It looks like Godolphin will have another absolute field day in Maidan, as they seem to do every year.
Indeed. And Blue Point, how highly do you think he can fly this year back in the UK?
Well, I think he'll take plenty of beating in the King's Stand. He's absolutely phenomenal around Ascot, isn't he? I imagine that will be the target in mind. And he looks to have the credentials to certainly win a Group 1 or 2 in Britain.
Yeah, and going back to Cross Counter, Dave, any concerns about him in that race? Or do you think
first time out?
Yeah,
it'll be an issue. If you remember, he came onto the scene last winter, 2017-18, and then they gelded him and they brought him back at Sandown, which looked like a prep run for a Royal Ascot handicap, which everyone who backed him that day still wonders how he managed to get beat. He was fourth, of course, in the big handicap there for three-year-olds. And will he be a cup horse this year? You have to think that in the division, with Stradivarius kind of holding it on his own, we need some proper stayers. He's definitely one of them. There's a horse in that race against him called Call the Wind for Freddie Head, I think, who made a comeback over a mile at Shanty on the poly track. That's not his trip, and he ran an absolute blinder conceding weight. If you can get any each way prices about him, he would be a steal.
Okay, that's interesting. Sam, over to you quickly for the Alquaz prices, and can you see anything getting anywhere near Blue Point?
Yep, so we have Blue Point at 1-2 at the top of the market. We have Stormy Liberal and Sands of Mali both at 8s. We have Vidora at 12-1, Brave Smash 14-1, and Lost Treasure at 16-1 for Aidan O'Brien, and it's 20-1 bar. I think Blue Point sort of hit the peak of his career now. I think this is going to be the season where he comes good. I don't particularly like betting in Maidan or America for that case, so I won't be betting him at that sort of price. I'll stick to the UK shores for this weekend.
Me and Dave are the only ones getting too excited about Maidan.
God, what's wrong with everyone?
Yeah, it is. I'll just spin through some of the other races then before we move on. In the UAE Derby, Van Beethoven, Divine Image has been running really well. A filly in that race. We've got the Golden Shaheen as well. Almond Eye is going to run in the Dubai Turf over a trip that could be a little bit short, potentially.
She's a mile two winner in Japan, but they're looking at the arc for her later in the year. This is just too good an opportunity for her not to take up, I guess, prize money-wise. She's got Dreamcastle to beat. It's been really pleasing seeing that horse come good finally for Saïd Bin Sarour, Christophe Soumillon, and Will Bean him. If he gets a good draw, he's definitely capable of giving her a run over that trip.
Yeah, okay. And we mentioned Godolphin Stalwart's returning. Old Persian, he could run in the Shima Classic. Now, the Dubai World Cup, Sam, quickly just want to get some prices on that.
Yep. So we have North America in a 10-3 at the top of the market. We have Thundersnow 7-2. We've Capizano at 5s, we've Yoshida and Seeking the Soul both at 7s, we've Gunavira at 12-1 and 16-1 bar.
Yeah, now Dave, this race has produced some quality performances over the years, and it should be a good spectacle this year with Thundersnow going for back-to-back wins.
Yes, Capizano destroyed him last time, but he had match fitness on his side, and Thundersnow was a bit of an eye-catcher. I just wonder whether this is a slightly deeper race. North America, I think, deserves to be favourites. We'll see which Americans come over. If Audible comes over for Todd Pletcher, he will crush in the market. There's still some doubt about that. I think Yoshida's another one. He came over to Royal Ascot, you remember, last year and ran okay over a mile on turf in the Queen Anne. He's more of a dirt horse, I think, probably. He's more than talented enough. Low draw is what you want, and on the pace. North America, if he gets a low draw, take a lot of beating.
Nicely done. That wraps up that Whistle Stop Maidan Tour. Anyway, as I mentioned, more of that on Friday's show. Before we go for a break, here's the Racing Post Guide to the Flat 2019. It has everything you need for a profitable year. Interviews with all the top trainers, John Gosden, Mark Johnson and Joseph O'Brien, tipping selections and lots of opinions from the Racing Post experts. So make sure to get your hands on one of these via the website racingpost.com/shop.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now it's time for our midweek racing section. Let's run through where we're going to be racing this week. Tuesday is Hereford, Hexham, Clonmel and Wolverhampton. York Hill returning. That's going to be exciting, isn't it? Wednesday is Lingfield Market Racing, Southall, Kempton. Thursday, Newcastle, Warwick, Wolverhampton, Chelmsford. Friday is Lingfield, Fontwell, Wetherby and Newcastle. And then we have the action on ITV on Saturday. Who's caught your eye this week, Dave Orton?
Ooh, last race at Lingfield.
Not your nap, though.
No. I've got my nap saved up nice and ready. It's not at Lingfield in the last race. The last race at Lingfield, the all-weather now, we're getting towards the all-weather championships. We're starting to see horses that are just coming back for the turf a little bit. It's been a really good winter on the all-weather, of course, because of that dry summer that we had last year. We've seen some really good two-year-olds come out. Horses that might well be running in Patting Maces later on. Doesn't always happen, over the winter, in December at Lingfield, something like that.
You look at horses like a Nabel who's come out and been winning on the all-weather.
Newcastle's a breeding ground, isn't it? Absolutely.
Dubai Warrior.
Exactly, at Chelmsford. Yeah, he's a Derby horse, isn't he? Sam mentioned him earlier in the prices for that. There's a horse in the last race called Smiley Bagel who bumped into a horse called King's Advice who made it 2 from 2 for Mark Johnson on Saturday night at Kempton. Smiley Bagel absolutely loves Lingfield. There's no King's Advice in there this time. He's got a great draw. Get on.
Get on. Confident advice, Robbie.
Yeah, let's focus on Clonmel, I think. There's an absolute crack of York Hill back. I thought he wasn't going to return this season.
He's a horrible horse, isn't he? I mean,
I think that's a little bit harsh, Dave. I mean, we're not going to suggest betting on him, are we? But there's a couple of other old friends as well. Arctic Fire, Acapella Bourgeois, Polly Dam. Sit back and enjoy it. None of them are going to be as good as they used to be, I assume. But it's still one to save
it. There's another one. You've just... Yeah. He's a disaster to back, isn't he?
He did win a big handicap.
He always looks like he's going to win. And then if something goes wrong, maybe he's got a few problems.
I don't know.
About a Bourgeois, what's gone on there?
Oh, he's gone. He ran at Cheltenham last week, didn't he? In the Martin Pipe. So we'll see how that pans out. And then, obviously, another huge name on Clonmel's card is Anna Mix, who's...
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. A long-term favourite for the Supreme for quite some time. He didn't win his maiden hurdle over Christmas, but he actually did probably run quite well. He's not one to give up on. I think these horses that are sent off at short prices, trained by the big yards, they might not deliver first time out, but in the fullness of time, they end up being pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's probably not going to be a betting proposition again, but we'll see how he gets on and look forward to it.
I often think sort of their reputations are so hyped up that,
especially
that wasn't
in those
a bad
colours,
run.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still finished second, didn't he? Sam?
Yeah, so I've actually tunnel vision for next weekend with the flat, the real start of the flat coming back. I'm sort of getting the National Hunt out of my mind now. I was just quickly flicking through the entries for Doncaster that just came in, and I actually see Crownthorpe's been put in the Spring Mile next weekend at Doncaster. Obviously, I flagged him up as an eye catcher, so if he was to turn up, he'd be a big bet for me next weekend, but I'm going to keep the powder dry during the week.
Okay, fantastic, and let's get your midweek naps.
This will not be beaten.
Dave Orton.
Tomorrow night at Wolverhampton is a horse called Captain Pugwash, who returns to the track. Ran really well against the pace bias in the first time buyers the last time. Captain Pugwash at Wolverhampton Tuesday.
Robbie Wilders.
The 4:30 at Wetherby on Friday, Butan. Quite a similar profile to a horse I put up on this postcast a few weeks ago. He's with John Joe O'Neill, former flat horse of Aidan, then went to Joseph, now he's with John Joe. But the key thing is, John Joe O'Neill's a trainer who tends to blow hot and cold, but he's actually hit a bit of form. I know on the face of it, he's only had one winner from his last 13 runners, but he's had a lot of horses outrunning their odds, hitting the frame, finishing second at big prices. The yard's going well. Butan showed a sign of life on his last start. He raced third at Chepstow. That was an encouraging second run for John Joe. If John Joe O'Neill Jr. takes the ride, I'd be even more confident. Taking the £5 off, he's looking phenomenal value for that. And yeah, I think he'll go well. Will probably be at a fairly decent price.
I like the sound of that. Jonjo O'Neill Jr., as we said previously, a jockey to keep on side. He's sure to be doing plenty of winning. Sam Harley.
And just Boehringer in the Lincoln at Doncaster next weekend. I think there's 25s out there. I think he's a big each way bet for me.
Stole my selection. We'll both be cheering him home anyway. As I mentioned, I'll be back on Friday chairing the Tipping Postcast, so make sure to tune into that for all the best insight ahead of the weekend's action. On Wednesday and Thursday, Bruce is here, so no fear, you will get to see Bruce this week for the golf and the football. Until then, best of luck with your bets and goodbye.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.